The Holy Gospel according to St. John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw that Nathanael was coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's sermon, calling all kids. Good morning. You don't need to run. I won't start without you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Hi, everybody. Good morning. All right. Hi. How's everybody doing? All right. Without saying anything out loud, think of a number in your head. Don't say it out loud. Now, do I know your number? Was it 3? None of you had 3? That was always my first guess. How about 6? No? How about 300,422? I'm not very good at this. I can't see into your minds. But do you know who is in our minds? Do you know who speaks to us in our minds? Who?
God.
God. And we heard that today. We didn't hear Miss Barbara read that from the lectern. We didn't hear Pastor Carter read that from the pulpit. We heard it from our choir. Choir, what did you sing? Thank you, choir. It's like we practiced. Did you hear what they just sung? God knows everything about us. God knows when we're going to stand up. God knows when we're going to sit down. God knows what we're thinking in our heads. Always. Now, sometimes, God also is able to, within our hearts and minds, speak to us without us hearing anybody else at all. That's the story of Samuel that we just read today. He thought that his mentor Eli was calling him from down the hallway, but it was God speaking to him. Yeah. Now, God can speak to us in a lot of ways, and in our minds we can know that. So if we're scared or if we need help, we can always pray to God, and God can speak to us in our minds even when there's no one around. I talk to God a lot without using words. When I'm driving in my car, I think about people and I pray for them. And you can do that too when you're in the back seat and riding in your car, or when you're lying down at night. But the thing to remember is that God knows everything. And because God knows everything, we will never be alone. God will always be with us. God will never let us be separated. And that's a good thing, right? We can always know that God is with us. So thanks, choir, for singing that today, because sometimes we get to hear the Bible sung to us instead of read to us. And this is a wonderful reminder today that that as Samuel heard from God, and as we can hear too, that God is always with us. And I'm excited to hear how God speaks to you and how you hear it inside your head. You can tell me about that sometime if God talks to you. Can we do that? All right. Let's say a prayer before we go back to our seats. Good morning, God. Thank you for this day. And even when no one's around, we know you talk to us. Help us listen and follow all that you ask. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you all for coming up, and thank you, choir.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is there anything any more unsettling than to hear a voice in the darkness of night? Immediately our heart jumps in our throat and it's beating about 150 times a minute. And immediately we think that something terrible is happening. What is the voice on the other end of the telephone going to say? Or what has happened with one of our children? Or what is going on with our husband or our wife when they call out? Often it is as simple as two confused individuals when they discover that the call was made to the wrong number. Or your child just wants a glass of water. Or your spouse has a cramp in their leg. Even so, we are left to recover from being jolted out of a sound sleep. Our message today is on young Samuel, who lived in the temple serving under the priest Eli, and one who heard a voice in the night. Because this is a familiar story, you may recall part of the backstory. Eli's sons also lived in the temple. They were corrupt, and Eli would not call them out for their despicable behavior, despite being instructed by a prophet of God to do so. Eli's sons used their position of power for personal gain instead of serving the Lord. At this time, Samuel is about 12 years old. He is growing up in the presence of the Lord and is serving in the temple. However, Scripture lets us know that Samuel does not yet know the Lord. One night after a day's labor, Samuel sleeps. Near daybreak, he hears a voice. Thinking it was Eli, he runs to him only to learn that it was not Eli who was calling. God calls two more times, and each time Samuel again and again approaches Eli, only to learn that it was not Eli who calls. It was on the third time that Eli discerns that it is God who is speaking to Samuel, and Eli instructs Samuel on how to respond. Obediently, Samuel returns to his place of rest. And when the Lord calls on the fourth time, Samuel responds, "Speak, for your servant is listening." With this said, Samuel receives a message from God. It was a heavy message, one that would make anyone's ears tingle, much less the ears of an adolescent. I wonder if he was able to go back to sleep or if he spent the last hour or so tossing and turning, agonizing over what he was told. Like usual, Samuel arose the next morning to do his morning chores, fearful of sharing the vision with Eli. But we know the rest of the story. Eli asks, and Samuel tells all that he has been told. Eli, knowing his disobedience toward God, accepted God's will for himself, for his sons, and ultimately the priesthood. This story tells us a couple of things about God. One, God speaks, and God wants us to listen and to respond. It also tells us that God is patient while we discern who is speaking to us. I find it comforting to know that God doesn't use only one way of communicating with us. One of the ways that God speaks to us today is through Scripture. We read our Bibles for knowledge, but we also read it for God's guidance. Through the various books and stories in the Bible, we can receive instruction, encouragement, and even caution. We are able to learn from others' mistakes. And most importantly, God spoke through his Son, Jesus, through whom we learn of God's deep and abiding love for us. God also speaks to us through prayer, but we must listen. This requires us to be available and attentive through stillness, quietness, and with the expectation that God will speak. Sometimes God speaks to us through our circumstances. A quote that has been meaningful to me during difficult times is, "Do not be discouraged by your circumstances, but be informed by them." This one sentence has informed me on numerous occasions, and because it has given me a perspective that I may not have had otherwise considered, it is possible that you may hear me say it to you sometime. God also speaks to us through other people. God can use anyone to speak to us what it is we need to hear. In fact, God sometimes speaks to us through people that are easily overlooked, like children, or the marginalized, or even through someone with whom we disagree or dislike. Thoughtfully and prayerfully, we should consider what we are being told, regardless of the source. We do, however, need to learn to discern what is true and what is not true, because there are many voices that can confuse or distract us. Voices that are loud, persistent, and disembodied. It takes practice to learn to distinguish God's voice over all the other voices around us. But we know God's voice is always consistent with God's word. Not always, but often, God's voice is quiet. And it is through the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit what we need to hear becomes compelling and unmistakable. God not only speaks words of faith and hope and love to us, but God also speaks words of conviction when it is necessary for our well-being. Could it be that many people hear from God but don't actually know it? Some people do not believe that God speaks to us today. Consequently, they don't listen. And others may be afraid of what God will say to them. More often than not, the most obvious reason we struggle to hear God is that our lives are too fast and too loud. One commentator used the phrase, the luxury of distraction. TV, smartphones, the internet, our endless sources of entertainment, travel, people, work, retirement, our noisy and overflowing and overzealous lives are the antithesis of a listening life. Listening to God does not have to be difficult, impossible, or only for certain people. God speaks to everyone, like Samuel and the children who gathered here for the children's message. God speaks to Nathaniel, who was part of our Old Testament lesson, and to our seminarians. And God speaks to adults like Abraham and us. If you think about it, though, very few of us have been taught how to listen to God. Pause for a moment and think about that. We were taught to pray by folding our hands, bowing our heads, closing our eyes, and speaking to God. Rare, if ever, are the times that I can recall ever being instructed to pray by sitting and listening. In today's world, listening does not come easily or naturally. Listening is more than turning off your phone or just slowing down, both of which are very good starting points. Listening requires a quiet heart, and a quiet heart takes practice. We have places in our Sunday morning worship services that offer brief moments of silence. During our Epiphany service last Sunday evening, we spent a more significant portion of time in reflective silence. But we need more than what is offered on Sundays. Being intentional on our own time, listening for God to speak, is critical and a necessary part of our ongoing spiritual formation. As we heard last week in our baptism, just as in Christ, God speaks over us that we are God's children, sons and daughters, beloved and belonging to God. It is that voice that we must choose to hear. There are many other voices other than God's that try to claim us. Yet we must work day by day, sometimes even minute by minute, to hear God's voice over the other voices. God's voice, the voice that speaks truth over us and names us and claims us as God's own. It's hard to believe in our age of instant communication, but there was a time when the fastest method of long-distance communication was the telegraph. And just like today, men and women rapidly embraced this new technology. They wanted to learn about it and be a part of it. Well, this one bright young man saw a newspaper ad for a job as a Morse code operator. As some of you may recall, that's how the telegraph worked. It would send out clicks over the wire, dots and dashes that we know as Morse code. Then the telegraph operator would then translate these dots and dashes into letters and words. This young man had just graduated from a school that taught him how to do just that. So he went to the office address that was listed to apply for this position. When he got there, he entered a large, busy office that was filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. There was a sign on the receptionist's desk that told the job applicants to fill out a form and wait for somebody who would call them into the inner office. The young man filled out his form, sat down with the seven other applicants who were already sitting there in the waiting room. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, went across the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. They began to murmur among themselves and said that they hadn't heard anyone call them into the office for an interview yet. They assumed that the young man had made a grave error by entering into the office, and he would most likely be disqualified. Just a few minutes later, though, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled." You can imagine what the other men did. They got upset and they started complaining, and one disappointed person spoke up to the boss saying, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last one to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet you gave him the job. That's not fair." The employer said, "I'm sorry, but the whole time you've been sitting out here waiting, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." Apparently, none of you heard it or understood it, but this young man did. So the job is his. Isn't that story a lot like us? We get so busy living in a world that is full of noise and clatter, just like that office, that we get distracted and either we don't hear God or we don't understand when God speaks. There are a couple of important lessons we can learn about hearing the voice of God from Samuel's story today. We have to be intentional and actively listening for God. The last time when Eli sent Samuel back with instructions to respond to God when God spoke, Samuel didn't go back to sleep. He was listening, waiting on God to speak again. And when God spoke, Samuel heard God's voice. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, God speaks all the time. We just have to listen. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious God, when you spoke to Samuel the fourth time, Samuel responded to you by saying, "Speak, for your servant is listening." In the quietness of these next few moments, we ask for calmness to be still, courage to listen, and clarity to hear your voice. Loving God, prepare us for the week ahead as we look for ways to stop, to listen, and to respond to your voice. Speak, Lord, for your Augsburg disciples are listening. Amen.